Welcome. Thank you for watching this teaching video from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. Please check out our other videos and don't forget to like and subscribe. Our mission is to help people come to know Jesus better and love Him more every day. We believe this will not only help our own spiritual growth, but also help us better influence the community and the world for Christ. For more information about Oak Tree, please visit us at oaktreechurch.com. There you'll find past message series, online giving options, and more information about our discipleship process that we call The Path. Now, enjoy this message. We'd love to hear from you in the comments or the website contact form. Thank you.
All right. We made it. We made it. This is the last week in our first question. What are we supposed to be? We're spending the year working on the study of the church, right? And we're working through these, we're working through these three big questions. What are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to do it? And here we are, end of February. We've spent 2 months on this first question. What are we supposed to be? And today, we finish this question. Woo! Next week, for all of you who are like just itching to get in to do something, we go there next week, okay? So don't do anything yet. You just have to sit. No, just kidding. we're still, we're finishing up. What are we supposed to be here? And I'm really excited. Actually, we're going to shift into what are we supposed to, or how can we do? We're going to shift into that a little bit today, setting up for next week, how we can start to work on that. But what we're doing, as you know, we have been working through some illustrations, the vine and the branches, the shepherd and the flock, cornerstone and the building, and then these last couple of weeks, we have been on the head. Jesus is the head. The church is the body. And this is our third week. We just spent some time thinking about the concept as a whole. And then last week we talked about unity. This week we are going to view it from the perspective of diversity. Diversity. Now, ignore the yellow for just a second. Just think of the four big illustrations for just a second here. Because I would guess, because it happened to me just as I was thinking about this, so I assume it's happened to you as well, that as we've been thinking through this, especially with the big focus on unity last week, each of these illustrations, we can easily, subconsciously focus on the unity side, right? Focus on the unity side. So if you think about this, I just, in my notes, I've listed a couple of things. Vine and branches. So we may have different amounts of fruit. That's fine. That's sort of the difference part. But we're all branches on the same vine, right? There's not a lot of difference there. We're all branches, lots of branches, same vine. Shepherd and flock. All sheep, same shepherd, one flock, right? Cornerstone and building. Great, we've got the cornerstone. We have the foundation. We saw that in Ephesians 2. And we may be different parts of building, but just one building. Even the head and the body, one head, one body, just the unified. It's very easy to get into the thought, just as we go through these illustrations even, it's very easy to get into the thought of just focus on the be unified. We're all together in this. We're all just one. And in fact, Ephesians 4 last week, we saw 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1, right? Okay, we need to be unified. We focused on that. We need to be unified as one flock, one set of branches on the vine, one building, one body. We need to be unified there. We need to have that. We need to be unified on the gospel. If we're not unified on the gospel, it doesn't matter what else we're doing. We need to be unified on our biblical doctrine. We spend a lot of time studying the Bible. So all of that's true. Okay, but I also said last week that unity for the sake of unity is not good. Unity for the sake of unity, just like change for the sake of change, because we haven't changed for a while, so let's change something, is not necessarily a good thing, right? Unity for the sake of unity, just so that we can say that we're unified, is not a good thing. So we have to be unified around what God designed for us, okay? The thing that makes this illustration, the head and the body, different from the rest, other than the obvious, you know, head and body, is that this one has more diversity built into it. It's not just unity. It's not just similarity. There's actually some differences. It has diversity built into it. And we've been coming back to this phrase that we see in Romans. I knew it was an R. There was an R there in my brain. Romans chapter 12. We don't want to go to Revelation chapter 12. That's not a good chapter to be in. No. Quick rabbit trail. Revelation chapter 12, in case anyone was wondering. There's a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fight against Satan and his angels, and Satan is cast down to earth, and the demons are confined to earth in the middle of the tribulation. The church is not going to be here during that. It is not happening right now. We are not in Revelation 12. So Romans chapter 12 is a good place to be. Revelation 12, not so much. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11, 12, 13 in there. We talk about one body, many members. Yes, we sort of have one vine, many branches. But for the most part, if you're on a vine, and this is just how it works, even if you have many branches, theoretically, they're all producing the same thing, right? If you have a grapevine, you expect all the branches to produce grapes. If you have a tomato, if you have a cucumber vine, you expect the cucumbers to come off of the vine. You don't expect different fruits and vegetables from the same vine, which may be why, and this is just a maybe, why in Galatians chapter 5, the word fruit of the Spirit is singular. There is a fruit that shows up in different ways, but it's really just one thing. It is the produce that the Spirit produces, okay, out of one vine, one power, okay? So even if you say, well, we're all sorts of different branches on this vine, I've never seen, unless it was, you know, manhandled together, right? You don't typically just in nature see a vine producing, oh, well, this branch is going to produce grapes, and this branch is going to produce cucumbers, and this branch is going to produce something else completely unrelated to each other. It doesn't work that way, okay? Unless it's, you know, like I said, manhandled or, you know, hybrided or, you know, all of the weird stuff that we can do, right? Okay, that's not the way it's supposed to work. So even in the illustration of the vine and the branches, you say, well, it's one vine, many branches. Yes, but they're all the same. They're all the same branches. With the body, one body, many members, we're not the same. We're very different body parts. We're very different members of the body within the body. Okay. A couple of weeks ago, after second hour, someone came up to me and said, here's a thought. This was our first week on the head and the body. Here's a thought. Here's a word that popped into my head that I don't know if it's helpful or not. But we're going to be talking about unity and diversity. And this person said, so the thought that popped into my head was the word harmony. Harmony, not just diversity. Diversity is not necessarily a good word all the time in today's culture, right? Okay. And diversity and harmony are not exactly the same. Okay, there are differences between them, but they work together. What's really interesting is they work together, diversity and harmony. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking about this word harmony more and more and more and how it fits into this concept of one body, many members, and I really like it. Okay, harmony, here's a couple of thoughts. Harmony is more than unity. Harmony is more than unity, okay? Ever been in a band or a choir, high school or anything like that, okay? Right? Your band or your choir can be unified on a song, but not in harmony, right? You can all be singing the same song, you can all be playing the same song, and yet, and especially the younger you get, right? Okay? You go to the little preschool recitals and everybody's on those little recorders or whatever. It's like there's no harmony. It is actually disharmony. In fact, we have a word for that, discord, right? Because we're not even playing the same chords, right? There's disharmony, there's discord, but they're unified. Their teacher is up there, you know, doing the thing. They might even all be on the same beat, which is pretty tough to do when you're preschoolers. But they, even if they're unified on the same beat, on the same everything, it can sound terrible. Terrible. Okay? Now, you can't tell them that, right? When they're 3 and 4 and 5 years old, you have to say, oh, that was so good, honey, right? Okay, you can't tell them it was terrible, but everyone knows. It's the unspoken rule. You leave the little preschool recital. Everyone knows it was terrible, but you don't tell the little kids it was terrible, okay? Because at that point, you're focusing on unity. You're focusing on, let's get together, let's do this together. Did you play your note, whatever note you decided to play, at the right time, right? Okay, it wasn't so much about the harmony, is that we're all together and we're doing this together and we are proud of the skills that we are learning, right? Okay, unity is a good thing, but unity does not necessarily mean harmony. Unity and harmony are two different things, okay? A couple of months ago, I've been thinking about this, not just a couple of weeks ago when someone brought this word, but a couple of months ago now this has been on my mind. At our Christmas service, we started the Christmas service with a couple of songs, tried to do a little bit of harmony, and I'm out of practice, and I don't sing parts as well as I used to, parts of music, and there were a couple of parts in those songs that I did get my right note, and there were a couple that I absolutely could not find my note. It was terrible. And if you heard it, maybe you did hear it, maybe you didn't hear it, that's fine. If you did, you were extremely gracious and didn't point it out. Thank you very much. Okay. But I'm up here and I'm like, that was horrible. Can we please move on to the tracks? Because I can actually stay with those most of the time, right? It was terrible. And you've forgotten all about it, even if you did hear it, and it's still weighing on my mind 2 months later. Okay. It was disharmony. There was discord. I couldn't find my note. And while everybody else was singing, oh, it's a wonderful song, you know, Christmas song, I'm just like, oh, this is terrible, okay? That is the difference between unity and harmony. The thing about harmony is that it doesn't exist even if we are all singing the same note, right? If we're all singing the same note, we can be singing the same song and have harmony with different notes, but if we're all singing the exact same note, usually the melody line, you know, whatever the melody line is, there's no harmony. There's unity, and it can even sound very good if we all are singing the same thing together, but there's no harmony. Harmony requires diversity. Harmony requires distinction. Harmony requires that we are singing different notes at the same time. And again, if you've ever been a part of a band, you've ever been a part of a choir or something like that, sometimes you have to get away from everybody else so that you can actually hear your part, so that you get your right note. Okay, I don't want to get sucked into what this other line, what they're singing or what they're playing, because I have something very important to play, and it's so important. I was tooling around on the piano this week, something that David and my son and I were thinking about, and I was trying to figure out a song at home, and I was playing around on the piano, and something just wasn't right. It just didn't sound right. I didn't have the music in front of me, just trying to figure it out. I'm like, I wonder, and I took one note, and I dropped it from a white note to a black note on the piano, just a half of a step. It's amazing what that did. It's amazing what one half of a note, one half of a step, just shifting it down just a little bit, changed everything, and I was able to figure it out from there. Okay? Harmony, if we're going to sound full, if we're going to have a broader aspect, a broader picture of what's going on, we have to sing different notes. We have to sing different notes. And ideally, they blend together. Okay? So let me put it another way here. One of the easiest things in churches and organizations is to try to get unity on our ministry. And this is why this week is still under question number one. We want to focus on our ministry. We've got to make sure our ministries are in line, and we're doing all of our ministries and our programs and our groups and all of the stuff. But when we make our unity about those things, we can get off mission. We can be so good about what we're doing that we forget who we are. Right? And that was the thing about unity last week. But when we switch it around and we focus on unity on our mission, this is who we are, this is what we're supposed to be, it's amazing all the differences in ministries that we can have. We can have all sorts of this, a wide variety of ministries that all connect back to the mission. The mission is the song that we're playing. The ministries are all the different parts, all the different notes that fit together. And the thing is that when you're playing a song, or if you're in a band, or you're, you know, in a choir, or we're, you know, we're singing together, most people, there are some people who can do this, it's really, really difficult. Most people can sing only how many notes at a time? You're singing one note at a time. Most people, some people can do, you know, some vocal harmonics there, but most people can do only one note at a time. Not that they can't do other notes, not that they can't hear other parts or sing other parts, but you can't sing multiple parts at the same time. And when we try to sing multiple parts at the same time, what happens is that it could be that no one is singing our part and we are singing someone else's part who could do a better job than we do. That's how it works together. How many kidneys does a normal body with no surgeries generally have?
Two.
Not 20, right? Oh, these are working so great, let's get four more, right? Okay, doesn't work that way. The body, when it is healthy, when it is functioning, has only two kidneys because it needs only two kidneys. We don't need more. If we stacked up our body with lots of kidneys, it would not work better. It would actually work worse. We have only one heart. We have two lungs. You know, you look at all of the, you know, our anatomy, our internal organs, right? Okay? Our external organs, you know, it's like we got, you know, 10 fingers and toes. Wouldn't it be better if we were an octopus and we had 8 arms and we could do more things at a time, right? Right, we'd just be expected to do more things at a time. I saw a funny, I should have grabbed it, it's in my, I have a whole file on my computer, I have a whole file of, the folder name is called Usable Graphics, and just these graphics that I collect from all sorts of places, and the one that I'm thinking of gets really long, and so it's hard to put on just one slide. But it's like a mom who has, you know, both hands full and just trying to do everything. Ah, if I were an octopus, it would be so much better, right? And then there's a picture of an octopus. All 8 arms are full. Oh, you know, if I were a centipede, it would be so much better, right? So now there's a centipede, 100 legs, you know, still busy. Oh, if I were a millipede, I would be so much better, right? We're always thinking, we're always, you know, hoping, if I had more, I could do better, right? Well, the last panel on the cartoon is the millipede saying, I'm actually doing pretty well. When God designed our physical bodies, he gave us exactly what we needed, no more, no less. Now, obviously, we have sickness, we have disease, we have things where we have to cut some things out sometimes, and but that is supposed to be the exception, not the rule. Okay, our bodies need diversity because harmony needs diversity. Unity may or may not need diversity, but it sounds better when it does. It sounds better. By the way, while I'm on this little soapbox here, If you do know how to sing parts, if you actually, you know, sing, you know, you sang in the past or whatever, when we're singing together, go ahead and break that out. I know it's not like in sheet music in front of you or whatever, but when we sing together, you know, it's not just the people up here who are singing. We are the choir. We are singing together. It's called congregational singing for a reason. If you can sing a part, sing a part. Sing a part, okay? Sing different notes, all right? All right, so that's what this morning is about. That's what we are thinking of as we wrap up this idea of what are we supposed to be. We focused on the unity side. Now we need to focus on the diversity side, but diversity within harmony, not diversity for the sake of diversity, because that's just as bad as unity for the sake of unity, right? Oh, let's get unified together around something. Around what? Doesn't matter. It actually does. Okay? All right, now we're unified. Let's be diversified. Why? Just so that we can say we're diversified. No, that's not good either. But diversity for the sake of harmony, so that we sound fuller, so we sound bigger, so that we can accomplish more things, that's worth it. But that takes planning, that takes thought. If you've ever written music, okay, and actually seeing all of the things that go into it, that takes time and thought. It takes a little bit of knowing what you're doing. Sometimes you can make accidents, like I usually do, and say, hey, that sounds pretty good. But that's not how most composers do it. It takes time. And some of your favorite music, whether it's from a movie score, or whether it's an orchestra, or your classical music, or your favorite band, they have taken time to put those parts together. Because it takes skill and it takes art to put them together. Let me give you a very practical example here at the church. Over the last couple of weeks in your weekly email, by the way, if you don't get the weekly email, make sure you put on a connection card or you send into the WhatsApp group or something, hey, I need the weekly email, please add me to the list. Okay? Over the last couple of weeks, we've had a list of teams or ministry opportunities, serving places that you can serve. We've got the decorating team. You're like, I didn't even know we had a decorating team. We don't. We did, but we need to do that where it's a little bit more intentional, not just Christmas, right? Do really well at Christmas, set up, tear down, but like, you know, other times. So let's do that. Our care team we've been talking about for some time now. Okay, that's starting well, but that can grow. We have our VBS, Vacation Bible School, that we still want to do very well this summer, if at all possible. We need people involved in that. 75th anniversary planning, that's coming up in November. Okay, you don't have to have been here for 75 years to be on the team, which is really good. Okay, it's really good because we wouldn't have a team at all, right? So if you'd like to be part of that, make a big bash here. You say, I don't even know what that looks like. Good. That's great. We have a whole team of people who doesn't exist yet that don't know what that looks like yet because that's what the planning is a part of, right? So if you want to be a part of making a big thing in November, that's great. Let's do it. Okay, we're looking ahead. 75 years down, I don't know how many left, right? 75 to go, 150 to go. I don't know what it looks like until Jesus comes back. Our garden team, there's been a sign up in the lobby there for quite some time. If you want to be involved in the garden, the community garden at all, church community garden at all this year, sign up on that, okay? Now, here's the thing. None of those is our mission. Not a single one of those is our mission at Oak Tree. We're going to spend more time on our mission and our purpose next week. Not a single one of those things is our mission. But every single one of those, when we focus on our mission, when we are unified on our mission, every single one of those can help us push our mission forward and push forward in our mission. We need to be unified on the mission so that we can have a wide variety of ministry. And the other thing is that you might do one of those things extremely well, but there's a good chance, in fact, it's a very, very rare chance that any one person is going to do all five of those things very well, is going to excel in all of those. It's possible that you're just like, those actually fit very nicely within my wheelhouse. Great. That's awesome, okay? But that's a rarity. And again, if one person does all of them, that takes away from other people potentially being involved. So find something that, and it doesn't have to be one of those things, but find something that you can excel at that helps push the mission forward. All of these things have different skills. They have different personality types. The garden is great for people who don't like people. You'd much rather talk to a tomato than you would rather talk to a person, okay? It's like, I will stand in the middle of the field and talk to a tomato. That is awesome. Okay? But yeah, I probably shouldn't be on a planning team somewhere. Okay. Okay. That's fine. Different personalities, different shapes. We've talked about shapes so many times here. How God designed us for ministry, right? Different skills, different personalities, different shapes, different everything. That's the thing that makes diversity into harmony. Diversity into harmony, okay? So here's what I want to do from the New Testament. You're like, are we getting to the Bible at all today? Yes. Yes, we will be in the Bible for at least 3 minutes this morning, because there are three passages that I want to show us. 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, that I want to approach this idea of harmony, with diversity. And then I want to end today, there's always a challenge question or two, but I want to end today with a quote from a book that I've been reading, something that you might be interested in. So, in 1 Peter chapter 4, harmony in 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm starting in verse 7. Okay, and we have to remember that 1 Peter was written to Jewish Christians specifically who were facing persecution for their faith. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff in here that's about perseverance, sort of like Hebrews, push on, press forward, you know, that sort of thing. Okay, so there's actually some similarities between 1 Peter and Hebrews, okay, that you'll see in here. So 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 7, for the culmination of all things is near. Now, Peter said that almost 2,000 years ago, and here we are. So he got his timing off a little bit, but the culmination of their stuff was near. He said, so here's how you live. And whether we are suffering persecution, whether the culmination of all things is actually near or not, these are good principles for us. He says, so be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of prayer. That's the first thing. But then he says, and here's my first bullet point, above all, keep your love for one another fervent, because love covers a multitude of sins. And that's a quote from the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Keep your love for one another fervent, because love covers a multitude of sins. Why do we not fire all the little preschoolers after their rehearsal or after their little recital? Because they're growing and learning. Because love covers a multitude of wrong notes, right? Love covers a multitude of wrong notes. You sit through that recital and it's the worst thing that you've ever heard in your life until the next little preschool recital, right? Okay, and you still love them because you know they're still learning, they're still growing. It's not because we don't love people because of what they do, and we certainly don't love people because they do something well, right? Love covers, if I can paraphrase, love covers a multitude of wrong notes. I really think, and I'm not talking about sin here, I'm not talking about sin because that puts us into a different category, but I think God is less concerned that we do everything perfectly than that we show up at all and how we respond to each other when we mess up. I think what God is looking for is how we, and again, I'm not talking about sin, okay? Sin is wrong. God doesn't want us to sin. But I think that God is less concerned about the fact that we hit all the right notes all the time than how we respond to each other when we don't hit the right notes. Because love covers a multitude. I know it says sins. I know the text says sins, okay? And there is part of that as well, okay? But the context of 1 Peter is not about sinning, even though that's included in the subtext. It's about how we respond to each other in a multitude of situations, in all the situations. Keep your love for one another fervent, number one. Number two in here has to do with hospitality. He says in verse 9, show hospitality to one another without complaining. You know, what's interesting is that when your body is sick, your body tries to heal itself. God designed the body to try to heal itself, right? Now, some bodies do that better than others. Of course, the better, you know, if we're in better shape, the better our body can respond, you know, that sort of thing, right? But even, you know, I've got a little, you know, scrape on my arm here, you get a little cut or something. It's amazing if your body's in fairly decent health, how quickly your white blood cells rush to the spot of the crime, right? Oh, there's been a breach, oh, you know, and so they run in like little soldiers and they try to patch it all up very quickly, right? When you don't have those things doing that, or you're on blood thinners, you're on other stuff that messes with the way the body is supposed to function, you don't heal quite as quickly, right? But your body is trying. God designed the body to try to take care of itself. Remember, Peter is talking to people who are suffering. Peter is talking to people who are being persecuted for their faith. And he says, listen, the body needs to do what the body does. The body needs, and so how does that happen with individuals? He's like, hospitality, care for one another. Love one another, care for one another. You see someone who's hurt, you see someone who's sick, you see someone who's down, you see someone who's whatever, rush in there to see how you can help stop the bleeding. How can you help heal the wound? Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't. We know that. Okay? We're not God. We're not the Father. We're not the Son. We're not the Spirit. There are certain things that only God can do. There are certain hurts that we don't even see. Okay? I would guess every single one of us is carrying a hurt somewhere in our heart or mind, our spirit, somewhere, our emotions, where someone has hurt us and no one else knows. No one else sees it. We are in pain. We are hurting. But no one is going to rush over and help because we don't even know it's there. Doesn't even exist as far as the rest of the body is concerned. Fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit who's living in us who does know those things, right? Does know those things. That's why people who have a spiritual gift of encouragement or a spiritual gift of mercy, sometimes they get this little prick in their heart that says, hey, you should go talk to that person. Why? Just like a parent, just do it. Don't ask questions, just do it. And you walk up and say, hey, how's it going? And if they're honest, they say, well, maybe not so good, not so well. And so you say, that's fine. You know, I don't need to know all the details, but, you know, you can pray together. I'll be praying for you or whatever. And God uses that encounter to help the healing process, even though we didn't do anything or it doesn't seem like we did anything. And you never know, a year down the road or a couple of years down the road, someone is telling that story and they say, yeah, I was having a down, you know, a depressing day. I was having a down thing. I was thinking about this, or, you know, I don't know what was going on. I had all these thoughts running through my head, and one day someone came up to me and just said, hey, can I pray with you? It could be years later, and you didn't even think you did anything, but the Holy Spirit can use you to help heal a body part, a body member, when you didn't even know it. That's one of the great things about spiritual gifts. Hospitality, caring for each other, taking care of each other. A body takes care of itself. And so Peter summarizes his entire section on spiritual gifts. Paul wrote chapters on spiritual gifts. Peter almost got through two verses. Okay, his whole summary on spiritual gifts is in verses 10 and 11, just as each one has received a gift. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have a spiritual gift. You have some way that the Holy Spirit wants to use you to help build, grow, heal the body. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards, good managers of the varied grace of God. I love that phrase. Let me come back to it. Verse 11, whoever speaks, here's Peter's whole categories of spiritual gifts, two categories. Whoever speaks, let it be with God's words. If you have a speaking gift, great. Let it be God's words. Whoever serves, maybe you don't have a speaking gift, which means you have a different type of gift. Those are the two categories. It's a great way to summarize it. Do so with the strength that God supplies, so that in everything God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Whatever your gift is, maybe I am definitely not a speaker. I'm not a speaking gift. I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to evangelize. That's not my gift. I'm not an encourager. I'm not going to go up and just, hey, you know, how you doing? I'm not talking to people. I'd rather stand in the garden. Fine. But that means you have a serving gift. So you have to do it with God's power, not your own power. Right? The power that God provides, because to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. This is a great, this varied grace of God. It's a great Greek word here. I love the Greek word here. It means many-sided. It means many-colored, variegated. Variegated. Those of you who do arts and crafts, if you use like a variegated yarn or a variegated thread or something where it changes color as you go through, you're putting it together and it's amazing. Whatever you're making has this great thing. I always like the disco ball idea. Right? So you got the disco ball. By itself, a disco ball doesn't look like anything, right? But you put the lights on it, and all of a sudden, it's just like, look at all the different stuff, you know? Prism. A prism is another thing that I like. You put light through the prism, and it just explodes in color, okay? That's the idea that Peter has here. He's like, God's grace, the body of Christ may not look like much by itself, but when God's grace comes into it, it just explodes in color. Just explodes in different ministries, different ways of people serving, different things that people do, some speaking, some serving, whatever, doesn't matter. That is harmony within or with diversity. That's harmony with diversity, right? Diversity is coming together to make something, to make a harmony that no single part could do on its own. No single part could do on its own. Okay? You have a gift that works better in certain circumstances, certain situations, at certain times than in others. Use it. Find out what that gift is. Find out what your shape is. Find out what that best situation is, and then use it. Because we never know on this side of eternity what God is doing with those things. We may never know. We may never hear the outcome until we're standing before Jesus and he says, let me show you. Let me reward you based on things that you didn't even know existed simply because you were faithful. Remember the vine and the branches. It's not up to us to be fruitful. It's up to us to be faithful and let God mess around with the fruit. Let God determine all that stuff, okay? So above all, love, hospitality, and serve one another with this varied grace of God, whatever it is that you have. All right, let me jump to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Okay, now, we're not starting at verse 1. We saw this actually last time. Verses 1 through 6 we read last week as a part of the unity. The unity part. So what I'm going to do is just show it to you, one body, one spirit, all of the ones that we talked about. But I want to go down to verse 7 and skip around a little bit in verses 7 through 16. There's some parts that I want to highlight here, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. God does not give everyone the same measure of grace when it comes to serving. I'm not talking about salvation here, okay? It's like, again, going back to the music thing, if you were in band or choir or something like that, you know that sometimes the best thing for the song is for one part to drop out, right? One part drops out for a little bit, and it changes the whole dynamic. And when that part comes in, whether it's vocals, whether it's a specific instrument, when that part comes in, it comes in more powerfully than if it were playing or singing the entire time. Okay? And so there's this ups and downs. There's this, and there are some, usually the melody line, for instance, okay, the main thing that everybody sings or play, that continues the whole time in a lot of cases. Right? And so if you were looking at that and you were being a little stingy or selfish, you say, why do they get to sing all the time and I don't get to sing all the time? Why do they get to play their notes all the time, but I have, you know, all of these measures, all of this section in the song where I don't get to play, and then I come in for a little bit and then I keep coming. Why don't we all get the same thing? Frankly, because it sounds better if we're not always on. Why is there some parts that are louder than other parts? Because it sounds better. The harmony is better when there is diversity. And sometimes, we're not as active as at other times in our ministries. We're not as active, we're not as strong in our you know, with our spiritual gifts. Paul here said, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ said, I'm going to measure this out. And some people are not going to have as much to do at this point in life or this season or whatever. And that's okay. Because if everyone were full on the whole time, it would not sound as good. It would get muddy. It sounds better with an ebb and flow. And so he talks here in... he talks about Jesus. Even Jesus came to earth for a short time. He's not been on earth the whole time. He was in heaven, back and forth. So he talks about that a little bit. Verse 10, the very one who descended is the one who also ascended above all the heavens in order to fill all things. And then notice, starting in verse 11, he himself, this is Jesus, gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. We're not all the same thing. We don't have the same roles. In fact, most people do not have these roles at all. Apostles and prophets, very limited, and they don't even exist today anymore. That role is finished. Evangelists, most people are not evangelists. We share the gospel. We should share it. We can share the gospel, but that is not our gift, not for most people. Not for most people, right? Pastors, we'll be talking about pastors and teachers in a few weeks here, okay, as we go through the structure of the church. How are we supposed to do it? This obviously has to come up. Not everybody's a pastor, and that's okay. Not everyone's supposed to be. Not everyone's a teacher. That's okay. Not everyone is supposed to be. There are differences. But just like the Holy Spirit gives gifts to people, for people, Jesus decided, for my church, I'm going to give people as a gift, specific people, small groups, small teams, to serve the church as a whole. Sometimes they serve in local churches, you know, very consistently. Most of these roles, though, are not just for local churches. Most of these roles are for the global church. Apostles were not limited to one church. Prophets were not limited to one church. Evangelists are not limited to one church. Pastors tend to be, generally speaking, but teachers aren't, right? So these are gifts that Jesus gave to his church, the whole thing, not just a local church, okay? So we have some official roles, but we have only one body. One body. And if we look, the primary responsibility of these roles is to get other Christians, the rest of the body, involved in ministry. Look at verse 12. The sums were given to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That is, to build up the body of Christ. One of the biggest things that we see, one of the biggest problems that I see when I'm working with, whether I'm, you know, training pastors or teaching students or whatever, one of the biggest misunderstandings that I hear coming out, especially of Bible schools, or training pastors is, you know, we have all this work to do. And I'm not saying we don't have a lot of work to do. We do. Pastors have a lot of work to do. But when I ask them what they mean, inevitably, they're talking about stuff that should be being done by other members in their congregation. Like, why are you doing that? Well, because I'm the pastor. Okay, wrong answer. Let's try again. Why are you doing that? And they can't come up with an answer. I say, it's because you have not yet done Ephesians 4:12. That's the answer. He's like, I don't know what that, well, open your Bible, that you're a pastor, let's, you know, you're a Bible college student, maybe let's look at the Bible, right? So we open our Bibles and we look at Ephesians 4:12, and it says that the purpose of these roles is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. I stole from somebody years and years ago. I'm never going to forget it, and so you're stuck with it too. And we'll share it again in a few weeks when we are actually talking about these roles, is that the people, the congregation, are the ministers. You are the ministers of the body. We've gotten this so backward, is that minister means paid position or specific official role. You know, the pastor is the minister. No, everyone's a minister. If you're part of the body of Christ, including pastors, if you're part of the body of Christ, if you are a believer in Jesus, you are a minister. Functionally, in the structure of the church, the people are the ministers, the pastors are the administrators. Someone needs to administrate, but everyone is to minister. My job, my number two job, my number one job is to teach sound doctrine and refute false doctrine. That's my number one job. My number two job is in the doing of that, is to equip you to do ministry. And it doesn't say the word here, but release you to do ministry, empower you to do ministry. Do it. Go do it. People ask me, you've asked me over the years, you know, I've been a pastor in this church since 2002. I'm coming up on 24 years, 24 years this summer. And over these 24 years, many times, someone has asked, I would love to get involved in ministry. And I'm like, okay, do it. Well, no. I'd be like, do we have this program or that program? No, we don't. I'd really like to be involved in, so do it. You mean I can just go, yes, do it. Not every ministry has to have Oak Tree Community Church's name on it. Not every ministry has to have a whole program and a whole budget and a whole oversight and a whole everything. Can that be good? Yes, it can be good. Can it be bad? Yes, it can be bad. It can be bad. Our job, Gary and I as pastors, our job is to just say, you have the scriptures, we're going to teach you the scriptures, we're going to help you grow, we want you to walk the path, so go do ministry. Go serve each other, go build up each other. Verse 13, until we all attain to the, look at that, unity of the faith. Unity of the faith. Notice where the unity is again. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature person. We're looking for maturity, attaining to the measure of Christ's full stature. Why is unity of the faith so important? So that we're no longer to be children, tossed back and forth by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of people who craftily carry out their deceitful schemes. That's really a hard verse to say out loud. There's just so many little things. It's easy to read just when I'm reading, but to say it out loud, that's a lot of is in there. This is why my number one job is to exhort in sound doctrine and refute false doctrine. Because the purpose is to grow up. Because when we grow up, we can do ministry better. We can serve each other better. We can serve Jesus better. Practicing the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. From him, the whole body grows, fitted and held together, notice this, through every supporting ligament, as each one does its part. Not as God makes us, not as God does his part, but as each one of us does our part, the body builds itself up. In love. Unity of the faith, as each one does its part, the body grows. All right? One more. This is 1 Corinthians 12. You may be more familiar with this one than some of the others. I won't spend quite as much time on it. It is a longer section, so I'll push through it a little bit quickly. 1 Corinthians 12. This one is the most, practical of all of them. It's the closest to the physical body part. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 12, just as the body is one and yet has many members, there's our phrase, right? All the members of the body, though many, are one body, so too is Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. So we have one body, one spirit, one body, one spirit. Okay, so we have unity in mission. We have unity in our doctrine. God wants us to do that. Verse 14, for in fact the body is not a single member, but many. If the foot says, well, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it doesn't lose its membership in the body because of that. If the ear says, well, I'm not an eye, you know, eyes are so important. Eyes are so important, right? You know, and the ear says, man, I'm not an eye, I guess I'm just not part of the body. It doesn't lose its membership in the body because of that. Our membership and our importance is not based on our capacity, not based on our capability, not based on our gifts, not based on what we can do or can't do. Our membership and our importance is not based on any of those things. It is separate from those things. Just because we say, well, I can't do that, I wish I could do that maybe, but I can't do that, oh, I'm never going to be good at that, doesn't mean that you're not important, doesn't mean that you're not good at something, doesn't mean that you're not an important part of the body. The problem is that some people spend far too much time focused on what they cannot do for Jesus that they miss what they can do and what he designed us to do. Okay? And I've had a lot of those conversations. Well, I can't do this anymore. I'm sick, I'm old, I'm whatever. Okay, so you can't do those things anymore. What can you do? What can you do from your house? What can you do from your bed? What can you do from where you are? Because you're still important. Your importance is not based on you or on your capabilities. Your importance is not based on your capabilities. Okay? Verse 17. Oh, I should scroll. If the whole body were an eye, what part would do the hearing? All right? If the whole body were an eye, what part would do the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, what part would exercise the sense of smell? Okay? What diversity is what helps us accomplish the different things. Diversity is what helps us with the harmony. Okay? We all know what happens when one part of our body is not working well. Right? You know, it's winter or it's spring and your allergies kick in and your nose gets all stuffed up, right? And you're like, I can't smell anything. I just Well, but you have two ears. That does not help me smell anything, right? But you have two eyes, you have two arms, you have two kidneys, you have two lungs, you have two of all these other things. Just, you know, make one of those do the smelling. Yeah, it just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And if it doesn't work that way in our physical bodies, it doesn't work that way in the body of Christ either. Okay? The diversity is what helps in the harmony. Verse 18. As a matter of fact, God has placed each of the members in the body just as he decided. The Holy Spirit distributes the spiritual gifts the way he wants to. Your role is not an accident. Your role is not, well, I'm just filling a need because, you know, somebody needs to do it. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes we just need some hands. We need to get this done. Okay? I understand that. Well, this is not my gift. I understand that. Okay? Maybe we don't have someone who is that person who has that gift. Sometimes we all just pitch in because it just needs to be done, okay? But your role, the way God designed you, is not just filling a need. Your role is actually an appointment. God said, I gave you this gift. I designed you in this way. You have these life experiences. You have this personality. You have these natural abilities. You have this passion for things, for life, for ministry. And I gave you this gift. That's you. Here's where you're supposed to serve. There is only one you. There's only one me, there's only one you, and when we sing our parts, there is harmony. And then verses 21 to 24 is really important. I bring this up a lot when I'm traveling. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor in turn can the head say to the foot, I don't need you. On the contrary, those members that seem to be weaker are essential. Those members we consider less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. Our unpresentable members are clothed with dignity, but our presentable members do not need this. Instead, God has blended together the body, giving greater honor to the lesser member. It is so easy to come to a church like this or to go to a conference or to, you know, when I teach in a school or whatever, it is so easy to look at the people on the platform and say they're the important ones. Look at the important thing. Well, he's the teacher, you know, music and, you know, just all this stuff. The people who get the microphone, the people who are up front are the important ones. The rest of us, we are not important. That's not what God says. The fact of the matter is that if it were not up to everyone else doing what you're supposed to do, I can't do my job. I can't do my job. Yes, I can teach to a camera and hope there's someone on the other side. Yes, you know, I could yell if we don't have the technology or someone to run the technology in the back, right? Yes, there are certain things, but it's not as easy. When I travel and I talk to the students in a class or when I'm teaching at speaking at a conference or whatever, I'm like, it's so easy for me to just swoop in here and just do my thing and I make it look so good and yeah, oh, wonderful, you know. But you know what it takes? You know those people who are setting up the room where I'm staying, the people who are feeding us, right? The people who you never see. The body parts that we don't see are the most important ones, right? Right? We can do without some of the body parts that we do see, but your heart goes down, game over. Your brain goes down, game over. Your kidneys shut down, your liver shuts down, your lungs shut down. It's easy to look on the outside. It's easy to look at who's standing on the stage or the platform. It's easy to think that if we're not seen, we're not important. God says that is absolutely a lie. That is, in fact, the opposite of what's true. The things, the people, the gifts, the ministries that seem to be the least important are actually the most important. The mouth is not the most important one. There's a lot of care that can be done. There's a lot of other things that can be done. The body can take care of itself, even if there was not a mouth like me to show up. Right? Is the mouth important? Yes. Don't fire me yet. Okay. Is the mouth important? Yes. The mouth is important. But not as important as so many other things. And the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, said, don't look at your importance based on whether you're seen. Because the things that are not seen, actually God gives greater honor to. And I believe that. I believe that. Bigger roles don't need more attention. We get enough attention. Smaller roles, the more impact they have. And smaller, of course, is in quotes there. Because that's how we think of it. All right, let me share one quote, a couple of questions, then we'll be done this morning. I've got this book that was handed to me when I was in, where I was last, Uganda. I was in Uganda this past month. And I have an audio recording of this that I'm not allowed to share. And I thought it was a PDF. And so I told the author, I saw him, and I told the author, I'm like, sorry, I haven't read your book yet. He's like, oh, no, no, it was an audio. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to listen to it. I hate people reading to me, so I'm not going to listen to your audio book. He's like, I actually have a copy that I wanted to give to you. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So I actually started reading it. Guy by the name of David Tubillier. Our missionaries in Rwanda, David and Grace Tubillier, and they have a book about their journey, about their ministry called 1% No Signal. When your battery's on 1% or when you have no bars in your life and you're tired and you're red, you're burnt out and you're what does that look like spiritually? And I'm about 50 pages into the book, but I came across this quote actually yesterday when I was reading. And I'll just put it up on the screen here for you. He says this, David wrote this, and I thought this was really encouraging. And again, I read it yesterday, and I thought I've got to share this because it fits so nicely with this part tomorrow. He says, God's plan is not paralyzed by our mediocrity. That's a good thing, isn't it? God's plan is not paralyzed by our mediocrity. His glory is not dependent on our participation. And he's not waiting on our performance to fulfill his promise. Now, if you read just that part, it's easy to get into, well, God doesn't need me then. He's just going to do his thing. I'm not important. I'm not necessary. And David says, that should actually both humble us and ignite us. Because God is going to do what God is going to do. And he's invited us to be a part of the process. He's invited us to be part of the team that does what he's going to do. God could say, I don't need you. Let me just go do my work. And he doesn't count on us. He doesn't rely on us. But he's invited us to be a part of it. And because of that, yes, David says that should humble us, but that should also ignite us to serve. It should ignite us to be better at what God has designed for us. To be better, to be more involved, not less involved in God's work in this world through his church. So, challenge questions, and then we'll pray and be done this morning. Challenge question number one, what part can you sing? Of course, in quotes, because some of you are like, yeah, I'm not going to sing. That's fine. But what part can you sing to help make Oak Tree and the global church sound better? What part do you have that when things show up, it's missing? There's something that's not quite right because your voice isn't there, your ministry's not there, you're not involved, and so the harmony's just not quite as full because you're not involved. And then two follow-up questions. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Maybe I'm just afraid that if I show up, I'm going to mess things up. I'm going to do something wrong. Whatever. What are you afraid of? Or maybe you're not afraid. You're just like, I just don't know if it's the right time. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If you're not involved in some way, what are you afraid of? Or what are you waiting for? God has invited you into this worldwide ministry that starts here in our local church and expands in all sorts of different ways. And he's invited us into it. What are we afraid of? What are we waiting for?